I'm going to try and finish this up. I think I will today. Of course, I thought that before, too. John chapter 10, just want to read verses 17 and 18 again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Now last week we're looking at, in Ephesians, the first of Ephesians, the results of this substitutionary sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. That's what this parable is about. Substitution and sacrifice, and then resurrection. He said he was going to lay down his life. He said it twice. Third time he said, I'm going to lay it down. Then he said, I'm going to take it up again. I take it again. The results we talked about in Ephesians 1 were to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He chose us from before the foundation of the world, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's what laying down his life led to, and taking it up again. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Nothing in John chapter 11 and nothing in Ephesians chapter 1 involves the work of men in redemption, adoption, glorification, preservation, any of it. It's all the work of Jesus Christ. Everything going on that John wrote that Christ said was going to happen, and in our time reference, it has happened, was according to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. There were those who with wicked hands did take and crucify our Lord, but it was only according to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. It was according to the purpose and plan of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that he laid down his life and he took it again. And he was also very careful to say twice, I laid down my life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd did not lay down his life for the world. No matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone preaches, it makes no difference. The Good Shepherd did not give his life for the world. He gave it for the sheep. He gave it for his sheep, he calls them later. And he took it again for his sheep. Everything happened according to the purpose and the plan of God. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Jesus Christ knew the Father like the Father knew him. That's not human. That's not human. That's something more than human. I believe that might be a godly attribute. But what's he say right after that? And I lay down my life for the sheep. None of this was a surprise. It was planned. listening to some people that'd take way too long. But this is not the result of a rejection from anyone. Let's just put it that way. This was the plan all along. This is not plan B. This is the plan. God only has one plan. And He'll bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. So if He did it, He purposed to do it. There are sheep being brought into the one fold right now. The flock is being fed. The fold is being fed. His sheep go in and out and find pasture. He leads them. And the sheep are hearing one voice, the one voice of the one good shepherd. And those sheep, His sheep, that hear, follow Him.
Yeah.
Other sheep I have, they may not hear, they may not follow. Yet. Because them I must bring. Now, in the chapter before this, chapter 10, Christ opened the eyes of a blind man. He gave sight to one who, by all accounts, was born blind. The formerly blind man had been examined and questioned by the Pharisees. Now, they questioned this not blind anymore man. We're not given his name. But they didn't like his not blind answers, Mason. They did not like what he said. Now, this man and Walter, to us, this seems random. Christ just happened upon a man who had been blind from birth. The disciples asked him a question, and he put some clay, mixed some clay and spittle, and put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. It's like he just happened to walk by. I am sure he had walked by other blind men before, but nobody got their sight back. Not that we know of. It's not written in here, and this is all we've got. But the Pharisees, the man did go and do as he was told. He went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he could see. And his neighbors saw it. He said, "Hey, wasn't this the guy that used to beg?" And he said, "Yeah, it's me. I can see." So they took him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees asked him some questions and said, they brought in his parents and said, "Is this your son?" Yeah, well, how come he can see now? Ask him. He's of age. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "Ask him. Don't ask us, ask him." So then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, "God, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Talking about Jesus Christ. They called my Lord a sinner. They'll tell you why here in a second. The man answered and said, "Whether he be sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they unto him, what did he do to thee that he opened thy eyes? And he told them. He said, I've already told you already. And you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, for this fellow we know not from whence he came. And then it gets a little mean, and I like this part. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing. Now, I can recognize sarcasm when I read it. Here's a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened my eyes. There's a guy running around opening the eyes of people who were born blind, but you don't know where he came from. Isn't that wonderful? No, that's human. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it is not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This is the words of a man who used to be blind. Pharisees asked a question, but they didn't like the answer. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. If you defend Christ in any way, they'll cast you out. Jesus Christ is God, but the world will not hear it. They'll take a half God. They'll take a mostly Savior. But they don't want a risen Lord who's sitting in heaven and doing everything he has pleased to do according to his purpose and his plan. The Pharisees did what every great religious group does whenever they are faced with answers contrary to the doctrine they believe and that they teach and that they uphold. They reject the answer and they reject the source. They cast out the one who had been blind but now sees. They had a fellow a miracle had been performed on, and they cast him out. Why? Because they didn't like how the miracle happened. And they certainly didn't like who performed a miracle. Because they didn't know the one who performed the miracle. Or they knew it was that Jesus fellow, but they didn't know he was the Christ. The thing is, this blind man didn't know either. Because he states it here. After he's cast out by the Pharisees, Christ was not yet done with this formerly blind man. He had one more thing for him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. Oh, excuse me, I started the wrong place. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. In chapter 9, we have Jesus Christ giving sight to a man. And then a little bit later on, that man has to him revealed the Son of God.
Yeah.
And believes. I'll throw this in for free. That's not gospel regeneration, Walter. That man whom Christ gave sight to was revealed the Son of God by the Good Shepherd. That was one of the sheep. Them also I must bring. There are more. And he is bringing them. Because after Christ gives you sight, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, both of these are from the Lord, and a heart that understands, he'll give you someone to see.
Right. There you go. Yes.
There is an order. But that order is, I must bring. It all comes back to him. He gives the sight, he gives the ear, he gives the heart, and then he gives the sight, what you see. Who you see, and you see him, or you're not seeing. You hear him, or you're not hearing. You will come to understand. That's through a glass darkly, but you will come to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is Lord. There's a result to the work of God. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, if you believe on him, that's the work of God. It's exactly what it means. Anyone who believes on Christ, it's because God has performed a work. Every one of his sheep he must bring. When the one who quickens, whom he will, gives you sight, he will also give you the one to see, Christ Jesus the Lord. And he is to be worshipped. See, that's what you don't see a whole lot of nowadays. There are people who think it does say that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But that doesn't make Jesus Christ my buddy. My pal, my old chum. He is my Lord first and foremost. He is my elder brother, yes. But he is my Lord. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but he's the Lord. I'm in him. My inheritance is from him, in him. Walter's been emphasizing it for months, the fact that what we do is bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he reveals himself to you, you will know that he is God. He is Lord. Because of that, he's your Savior. Because if he's not Lord, he can't be the Savior. But there's thousands, if not millions, that claim him as Savior and don't bow to him as Lord. This man who had been blind said, "Where is the Son of God?" "He's right here, and I'm the one that's talking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. In the chapter after the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ raised the dead, Lazarus. And I want to look at, just rather quickly, hopefully, verse 24 of John chapter 11. Lazarus is already dead. Jesus has come to Martha, and Jesus said, Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." I'm sorry, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." The Good Shepherd is the resurrection.
Yeah.
I laid down my life for the sheep. I lay it down. No man takes it from me. Why? Because I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I am the resurrection and the life. What Jesus Christ did for himself, laying down his life, taking it up again, he has promised a resurrection to his people. We have been promised life eternal. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" His sheep, whom he has brought in, believe it, because they believe him. He is the resurrection. Jesus Christ makes alive. Otherwise, we're all dead. That's the whole thing. He chose us from before the foundation of the world to make us alive unto him. He is the resurrection. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Them also I must bring." He's quickening his sheep. His power over all flesh, because he's God. He had the power over his own flesh. I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. I am the resurrection and the life. This commandment have I received of my Father. This parable that started off John chapter 10 and the explanation of the parable and actually the proclamation from Christ about the Good Shepherd seems to me to expound beyond the actual parable, but it doesn't, but it seems that way. Is bracketed by these stories of the miracles that the Son of God performed. He gave sight to the blind. He revealed himself as the Son of God to that blind man. He gives this story, the parable, and explains that I am the Good Shepherd. Then he raises the dead in chapter 11. He gave sight literally to the blind. Christ told us that the Good Shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep, and Jesus Christ raised the dead in these three chapters. The natural man will have absolutely none of this. I mean, it's plain, it's in black and white, it's in English right now. None of that. None of the truth of God makes a difference to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. If you're one of his sheep, he's got to bring you in. Them also I must bring. Some followed him because of miracles. Some followed him because their bellies were filled. What happened after Christ preached? Same thing happened here. John 11, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. It is amazing how many times our Lord preached and there was a division among the Jews. Or they took up stones to stone him. This is what always happens when the truth is preached. Because if you don't want the truth, I can't make you want the truth. This fellow that was given sight by Christ. This fellow who was given sight and then was given the revelation of who the Son of God is, that was given by Christ. Them also I must bring. I can't go anywhere else but the truth of Jesus Christ. I can't go anywhere else but to Jesus Christ. I have nowhere else to go. Why isn't this building full? Other people have other places to go. That's exactly it. They've got other places they'd rather be than to hear this, that Jesus Christ is God, and that he died for his sheep, he rose again, offered the sacrifice, redeemed his people, and now he is bringing in his sheep. And there's going to be one fold. Actually, there is one fold and one shepherd. They'll hear anything else but that. They got other places to go. They got other things to do. I'd rather be here. I have nowhere else to go but to him. He asked his disciples after he preached, and many walked away. And he said, ask them a question. Will you also go away? He wasn't trying to explain what he said and said, no, I didn't quite mean it that harshly. No, I didn't mean it that unless God gives it to you, you can't come to me, because that's what he said twice. And many walked no more with him. He asked them that question, will you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you have anywhere else to go, you can go. But I got nowhere else to go. I know exactly what Peter was meaning when he said that. I have nowhere else to go. It's not just that he's my hope. He's my only hope. He is my hope, but he's my only hope. In a real, figurative, but literal sense of the word, literally, he is my only hope. And if he's not your only hope, he's not your hope. That's just as clear as I can make it. But them also I must bring. I even have hope for others, because he is bringing in his sheep. He quickens whom he will, just like the Father. The Son quickens whom he will, and I praise God for that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd, who is the Son of God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who is bringing in all of his people. Thank you, Lord, for him, for so great a salvation as you have given to your people. In Christ's name. Amen.